This is the son of PCJ.
Radio Berlin International.
Ici Radio Canada. This is Canada.
This is Radio Nederland, the Dutch World Broadcasting System in Hilversum, Holland.
You're tuned to Swiss Radio International in Bern.
This is Free China as a presentation of the Voice of Free China, the international service of the Broadcasting Corporation of China.
This is Radio Havana, Cuba.
Broadcasting from Cuba, free territory in the Americas.
This is Radio South Africa.
This is Yugoslavia Radio Belgrade calling.
This is Israel broadcasting from Jerusalem.
This is Radio Pyongyang of the Democratic People's Republic of Korea.
This is the General Overseas Service of the BBC.
Media Network Plus, produced and presented by Paulette McQuarrie and Keith Perrell.
Hello, everyone. It's very nice to have you with us once again. Coming up on the program today, we're going to be joined by Victor Gunatelica for an update on a review that we did a few weeks ago of the DRM DR111 receiver. And then, is Radio Berlin International coming back? What's all that about? Well, you'll have to stay tuned and find out. Media Network Plus, the show that talks to you and not down to you. But first, here's Paulette McQuarrie with a look at some of the headlines from the world of media.
The New York Times Company has announced that BBC Director General Mark Thompson is to become its chief executive and president in November. The New York Times runs national and regional newspapers and websites, and the company said his experience in digital media on a global scale made him the ideal candidate. Mr. Thompson, age 55, said he was excited to take on the role. He took over as director general at BBC in 2004 and is responsible for the BBC's TV, radio, and online services. Countless thousands of potential radio listeners in HCJB Global's Asia-Pacific region have access to a clearer, more powerful signal as a result of a 7-year project to move the transmissions to a new shortwave facility in Australia late last month. Broadcasts from the International Broadcasting Facility in Kununurra, a town of 7,000 on the northern edge of Western Australia, began in 2003, but the original site was fraught with restrictions limiting the broadcasts. Antenna height, for example, was limited to 40 meters or 131 feet because of the facility's proximity to the local airport. A parabolic curtain antenna, formerly used by radio station HCJB in PIFO, Ecuador, is being installed with modifications at the new site, with towers as high as 420 feet, four times the height of the tallest antenna at the original site. The new site lies approximately 2 miles west of the existing site and, crucially, outside of the airport restrictions, explained site manager Peter Michalki. TalkSport, the UTV media-owned sports radio station, has signed up Bell Media in Canada, Radio Sport in New Zealand, City FM in Ghana, and Brilla FM in Nigeria as its first international broadcast partners. Bell Media's TSN and team stations Radio Sport and City FM have signed an exclusive deal to broadcast TalkSport's live commentary from the Barclays Premier League and FA Cup in their broadcast areas. Nigerian station Brilla FM has signed a deal to be the exclusive partner of TalkSport's live Barclays Premier League commentary in Nigeria. The ads accompanying the commentary will be sold locally and will be run alongside promotions for TalkSport's online commentary service, TalkSport Live. TalkSport Live allows people outside the European Economic Area to listen to commentary from all 380 Barclays Premier League games in a range of languages, including English, Spanish, and Mandarin, at TalkSport.com. Deutsche Welle has signed a new partnership with the iPad news app WatchUp to offer Deutsche Welle content to iPad users in the United States. Deutsche Welle and Watch Up have announced that they are partnering to offer in-depth video coverage and analysis of German and international affairs to the emerging iPad user audience in the United States. Users will be able to watch the 10 latest news clips produced by Deutsche Welle on its English channel with Watch Up's iPad app. Watch Up is a new iPad app that lets you discover what's up in the world through a curated lineup of high-quality news channels. On August 2nd, satellite services provider Intelsat successfully launched the Intelsat 20 satellite from Kourou, French Guiana, via an Ariane 5 V208 launch vehicle. The satellite will provide high-power distribution of video, voice, and broadband services in Africa, Asia, Europe, the Middle East, and Russia. Intelsat 20 hosts the largest direct-to-home platform in Africa, pay TV operator MultiChoice's DStv Bouquet. Once operational in September, Intelsat 20 will replace Intelsat 7 and Intelsat 10 at 68.5 degrees east and is expected to have a service life of more than 18 years. According to News Central Media, MultiChoice has now secured significantly more capacity on the satellite for new channels and high-definition services. The pay TV operator was reportedly running low on capacity on the existing Intelsat 7 satellite and will use the Ku band for DStv services. And that's the news in media for this week. I'm Paulette McQuarrie.
Call the PCJ answer line at country code 44-20-3286-1399. That's country code 44-20-3286-1399 and leave your comments and questions. On shortwave, satellite, and the internet, this is PCJ Radio.
And by the way, you're listening to Media Network Plus from PCJ Radio. As you can tell right now, I've sort of stepped away from the studio for a little bit. There is a reason for that, because right now I have two receivers in front of me. The DR-111 DRM receiver, and a Sanjin ATS-909X. Why are we doing this? Well, as you may know, a few weeks ago, we did a review of the radio, the DRM radio, that is. And you can say we were, well, less than impressed. At the beginning of August, Neustar Electronics came out with a new software for the radio, claiming that it would make a big difference. While it's true, some things did change, what about the overall reception? Well, let me give you an idea of what it's like. So, like I said, I have two receivers. And for both of them, I'm going to use the same antenna, the Deegan 31MS active antenna. The station that we're going to tune to is Radio Australia on 21725 kHz. Now first, let me turn on the Neustar DR-111 receiver. Okay, so here it is.
And we hope that what we've put forward here is productive in that sense.
You've constructed a series of shorter and longer term measures.
Actually, I have to say, not bad. Mind you, this is a very clear signal for this time of day in this part of East Asia. So let's now disconnect the antenna from the DR-111 and plug it into the ATS-909X from Sanjin. And what do we get?
In the region, instead of coming to Australia.
I think the way you've suggested it is the way we would like to go, to have a regional...
Now, the signal meter on both of them is quite interesting. On the Sanjin radio, I'm getting, a plus 5 signal. On the DR-111, the signal's around 1 and 2 and keeps cutting in and out. So yes, while it's true the DR-111 is picking up a decent signal, but the audio quality is just terrible. And I think a lot of that has to do with the small speakers that are inside of it. Let me plug it back in, and here we go, and turn the volume up. It takes a while.
And with our comprehensive package and the vision that's embedded within the work that we've done,
we think it's the way to go.
So reception is a bit of a problem with this radio. Now, the other night I tried to listen to the Sinhala service from All India Radio. I used the IF out on my Texan radio and had no problem picking up a signal. On the DR111, all I got was text. Well, to find out a little bit more about what this new software is all about and did it really make any difference, we're now joined on the line with Victor Gunatelika in Sri Lanka. Victor, let me ask you, at the beginning of this month, Newstar Electronics came out with a new software to install into the radio. It was very easy. You go to download it from the website, put it on an SD card, put the SD card into the 111, then plug it in, and then it automatically will load the software. Now, let me ask you, since you've did this a few days ago, did you see any major improvements in first, let's not talk about the performance of the radio, but the way the radio operated?
Well, to start up, yes. Updating that, putting the SD card, that was quite simple. I think anybody will be able to do it today. Okay, that's one. Second, did it improve the performance or the way it works? Well, one of the major things that they intended was to undo the muting on the AM tuning. I think last time we were talking about how to get an AM station or tuning round. You had to push the tuning button in, and then you start tuning around. The frequencies start moving, but nothing comes in because the whole set is muted there.
Right.
And then you stop up at a frequency and push the button back again, and then the station comes up. So now that has been dealt with, so that as you tune around, you hear the stations moving. So I think that's very nice, and they should have thought that long ago, but great.
You know, you're absolutely right, Victor. That is actually a big improvement, especially, I mean, in this part of the world, a station like Channel Africa is difficult to pick up even at the best of times. But I managed to do it by accident, only because the audio was still there when I pushed the button in for tuning. So, yes, that was an improvement. What about other things? Did you notice any other changes?
Well, the first thing I noticed after installing the updates is that the receiver noise level, the internal noise level, was noticeably higher than before. So I was not quite happy with that. And okay, but besides that, the tuning around. That's very useful. As you say, you hear the station, and that's a great improvement. But one more thing, I just don't like the tuning knob and the volume controller to be on the same tuning knob. Because as you tune around, some stations come crashing in, and you want to run just the volume down, and that's not possible. So one thing I like is, if they did what they did now, if they can have an independent volume controller, I think that'll be a tremendous improvement. Besides that, I didn't notice any improvement in the sensitivity. So all the updates, what I got was that on AM, not on DRM, on AM, you don't have the muting, so it's much easier and it's more comfortable to tune around, as you also pointed out, Keith.
Now, what about this? This was something that somebody mentioned to me a few days ago. Do you think it would be a good idea on this radio to have an RF gain?
Well, what I want is to have sideband as well on this radio if possible, because even the cheapest Chinese portables now have SSB. And in that case, of course, an RF gain control would be quite an essential thing. But leaving aside a single sideband tuning, on the RF gain, I don't really know whether it's going to be of much use, because the sensitivity, there isn't a huge signal that comes in that you have to grab the RF gain control to cut down or things like that, because this is very simple. And I don't think that is an issue for me, but I would like the volume controller to be independent of the tuning.
Now, you are in Sri Lanka. Sri Lanka has a very different power grid that we do here in Taiwan. Now, here in Taiwan, Victor, something that I've noticed with the receiver is the receiver picks up a lot of noise from the power supply because of the kind of power grid that we have. What about where you are?
Well, yes, it does pick up quite a lot of electrical noise and from the power supply. And frankly, I haven't changed the power supply to something like a battery, a car battery that gives me 12 volts. So I haven't done that. So I really can't. I shouldn't be commenting on that, Keith. But it does pick up quite a lot of electrical noise.
Okay, Victor, final thoughts. Final thoughts for the 111. I'm sure that down the road in the future, we might discuss it again if they listen to this. I mean, you know, somebody said to me, it was kind of strange that we came on, we complained about the tuning thing, and all of a sudden, literally 2 weeks later, it was fixed. So I do have a feeling that they are finally kind of paying attention. But your final thoughts.
Yes, before I get to my final thought, Keith, if you don't mind, I'd like to comment that the light on the tuning window should be kept on, or at least a switch there, because on DRM mode, we have constantly text moving, and on this window, the DR111 knocks the light off after about a minute, and you can't read anything. You have to juggle with the tuning knob a little bit, and then the light comes on. So things like that, small practical improvements have to get on, and my thoughts are still, I don't think I'm prepared to pay $150 for a DRM receiver with all these bugs. But having said that, I'll tell you, Keith, I've compared the receiver with my Perseus and the external antenna, and I'm quite willing to say that DR111 DRM reception is quite satisfactory. But, of course, the dropouts are there. So as a standalone, with few bugs, it's still good, but not up to the mark as we expect it right now as it is.
Well, thank you very much, Victor Gunatelica. Now, at the beginning of today's show, we heard a few notes of a radio station that many of you are familiar with, and that is Radio Berlin International. Now, apparently, Radio Berlin International is coming back. But before I get to what I want to say about that, let's go back in time to the old days of the former German Democratic Republic, when if you tuned to RBI, you would hear something like this.
To Radio Berlin International, the voice of the German Democratic Republic. Our English transmissions to Southeast Asia go out daily from 6:45 to 7:30 hours GMT on 15.425 megahertz in the 90 meter band and on 17.700 megahertz in the 16 meter band. From 12 to 12:45 hours GMT on 17.700 megahertz in the 16 meter band on 11.965 megahertz in the 25-meter band and on 15.320 megahertz in the 19-meter band. From 14 to 14.45 hours GMT on 17.700 megahertz in the 16-meter band and on 11.965 megahertz in the 25-meter band. And from 15.30 to 16.15 hours GMT on 11.965 megahertz in the 25-meter band. We gladly invite your comments, questions, and suggestions on our programs, which you would please mail to Radio Berlin International, German Democratic Republic. Goodbye, and thank you for listening.
And there we heard the interval signal for Radio Berlin International. That was followed by the national anthem of the German Democratic Republic, and then the sign-off in English of RBI. Why did we play that? Well, if you listened to the beginning of the show, and you heard what I said, I actually asked the question, is Radio Berlin International coming back? Well, I know this is going to sound rather crazy, and it probably is, but a few weeks ago on Facebook, one of our listeners posted in the PCJ Media Facebook page a posting saying that Radio Berlin International was going to come back. I know, it does sound strange, doesn't it? I mean, Radio Berlin International was the voice of the government of East Germany. East Germany's gone. It's now just the Federal Republic of Germany. But apparently they are. So I sent the people who are starting this RBI station an email, and I got back a reply. First, the reply was in German. So I said, can you please respond in English, even though I can read German. So they just sent me back a reply that they probably used Google Translate and sent it back to me. And it still didn't make any sense. So let me try to make sense of it, if I can. I'm going to do a translation from the German. It says, hello, Mr. Keith Perron. We have formed RBI, Radio Berlin International, at the moment as AG, because the GDR is no longer in existence. At the moment, we have 600 club members and listeners. 600 club members and listeners? From where, exactly? They didn't answer. In the last 7 weeks, we have around 200,000 international people that have interest in things historical, including RBI. Well, I'm going to get this, of course, and I'm going to ask more questions like, where are they? Who are they from? And they just responded to me with the same text. It's a little bit strange because there is a YouTube page for Radio Berlin International that was started by these people, whoever they are. And it just includes some television programs from the GDR, some music from the GDR, a lot of pictures, QSL cards, and nothing else. There was a claim that they're going to have a number of programs in various languages, and they're going to be broadcasting, including the use of the internet, but no further information. It's a little bit strange. I mean, they have a website, they announced a website, but the website doesn't work. Why would you do that? I mean, I don't know about anybody else, but this is just a very odd thing. Now, I was hoping that today I can come here and do something more on it. But unfortunately, well, there isn't anything to do. I don't know what to say. Radio Berlin International is coming back. In what form? I have no idea. What languages will they broadcast in? I have no idea. What transmitters will they use? I have no idea. What is their programming going to be? I have no idea. Andy Sennett said something on the PCJ Facebook page that I think makes a lot of sense. How can they really have any credibility? Because after the collapse of the Berlin Wall, in the last few days of RBI, they admitted on air that they had lied a number of times about their coverage of the former East Germany. I asked this question to Bruno, who who's one of the people behind it, this exact same question. He responded to me, "Hello, Mr. Keith Perron." It was the same thing. This email that he sent me has been posted in a number of other places. You ask questions, and they just respond with no answers. I did post something on their Facebook page, and they got back to me with no answers. Sounds like they're like some type of politician or something. Ask a question, don't get an answer. Anyway, I'm sure that if we have more information about this in the future, we will do a follow-up for sure. Anyway, what's going to be happening with propagation over the next 7 days? Here's our own Dan Hensley.
Here's propagation for the week from August 18th to August 24th, 2012. On August 18th and 19th, the 10.7 centimeter flux is 95. On August 20th, jumping up to 100. August 21st, one more jump up to 110. August 22nd, jumping 5 points to 115. August 23rd, 120. And August 24th, 125. The A index starts out at 5 on August 18th, jumping up 5 points overnight to August 19th to 10. August 20th, the A index is 8. From August 21st to August 23rd, the A index stable at 5. On August 24th, the A index is 8. The KP index starts out at 2 on August 18th. On August 19th, jumping 2 points to become 4. On August 20th, the KP index is 3. August 21st through August 23rd, the KP index is stable at 2. On August 24th, the KP index is 3. This week, we'll see a dramatic drop in sunspots, with only one sunspot present, 1543, which has a beta-gamma magnetic field that harbors energy for M-class solar flares. August 19th gives us at least a minor possibility for geomagnetic disruption, given the high A index and mid-range high KP index, just one place below a reading of 5. With the 10.7 centimeter flux, A index, and KP index being such a mixed bag this week, expect fluctuating propagation conditions to play havoc between absorption in the different high-laying portions of Earth's atmosphere and reflection back to Earth varying widely. Back to you, Keith.
Well, thank you very much, Dan Hensley. And with that, we've come to the end of this edition of Media Network Plus. If you wish to contact us with more information about RBI, if you're listening, our email address is mnp@pcjmedia.com. That's mnp@pcjmedia.com. If you wish to listen to this program again, as well as catch all past editions, visit our website, www.pcjmedia.com/Media Network Plus, all one word. Before we go, I want to announce that next week on the show, we're going to be joined with part one of a many-part discussion, this is a long conversation, with the one and only Andy Sennett. So on behalf of Dan Hensley, Paulette McCrory, and Victor Gunatelica, who joined us this week, I'm Keith Perron, hoping that you join us again very soon. 73s to you all, and 88s to the ladies.